it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Monday, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield behind the glass for us today, getting you ready for Kings, Bulls, after the Kings take down the Minnesota Timberwolves in their own home. Only what, Chris? Seven losses at home, and the Kings have given them two of them. But if you ask Chris's favorite player, Jaden McDaniels, is it a big deal? He's still saying no. He still says, hey, we're not really worried about them. This isn't verbatim. We will have that sound for you later in the show. But this isn't the first time. Talk to somebody from the Nuggets, right? Oh, well, you were missing, or we were missing this guy and that guy. You hear from the Timberwolves. Oh, well, we were missing so-and-so, and we didn't have this, we didn't have that. It's something about the Kings that gives them that underdog chip, and not just the underdog chip, but on the other side of this, teams just aren't worried about the fact that they are beating you at a higher clip than anyone else. They went 3-1 against the Denver Nuggets, okay? And the Denver Nuggets have missed a lot of guys, a lot of games. You still won those games. 3-1 against the Denver Nuggets. They have beaten the Timberwolves twice on the road in the Timberwolves' house, and the Timberwolves have only lost seven games there. But you talk to everybody in Denver circles, Minnesota circles, we're not worried about the Kings. Why is that? We break all of that down and more. Chris Watkins, how you doing?
Great. Actually, it's been eight games now because the Timberwolves lost yesterday to the Clippers in a really exciting game. So you can add that to the list of things. And I think overall, that's probably a good thing for a team like the Kings who, you know, maybe if they do mess around and have a hot month of March, you can maybe find yourself in a position where, you know, maybe those top four seeds don't look so crazy. So as much infighting as there is up top is actually strangely good for the Kings. So feeling good, had a great weekend in terms of standings watch for the Kings too. Suns definitely helped out the Kings a bit. Mavericks helped out the Kings a bit. Warriors got absolutely demolished yesterday. So it's hard to not be feeling good today.
Somehow you said demolished and that still doesn't do enough justice. I'm telling you right now, I tell everybody, my mother said I could do a lot of things, right? The two things she said I couldn't do is be a surgeon because I don't have the most steady hands and be a mathematician. Mm. I literally saw that score and just at first I said I need a TI-89 calculator.
Yeah, that was tough.
I need something to figure out how much the Warriors lost by. Yep. It was a joke, and the Warriors, you talk about burning that tape, they are going to incinerate that tape. And here's the thing, Chris, you sound good. Right? You're optimistic.
Yep.
But we said we weren't going to do this.
Yeah, we sure did.
Because
I think it was a week ago today.
Let's just put the rat. It literally was. And let's just put the rat on the table. We know what tonight could be.
Yes.
And tonight could be what it's been for the Kings. After a really good win.
Right, feeling great.
It's time to lay an egg.
Yes.
It's time to lay an egg. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that's not the case.
Yeah.
But this is what it's been for this team basically all season long. This is how you end up where they're at, fighting to stay out of the play-in. And the same thing happened literally a week ago, okay? And you go out and you lose. Oh, well, it's the Heat and it's Spoelstra and they didn't have their guys, okay?
Yep.
The Bulls are stuck in basketball purgatory right now. They're not terrible, don't get me wrong, but they're not playing for anything.
They're not doing nothing.
They're not doing anything, okay? The Kings, they have higher expectations, I would say. So how do you react and how do you show up when everybody and their mother knows that this is the type of game that the Kings will trick off?
It's impossible. I mean, you know, because now they've even used up the excuse of, oh, De'Aaron's not playing and this team just can't play well without De'Aaron Fox. Now they've beaten probably one of the best teams in the Western Conference in their arena without De'Aaron Fox
Anthony
out there.
Anthony Edwards left at halftime.
Yeah, he sure did. Whatever. You beat who's in front of you.
Yeah, that's right.
So they really have ran out of excuses. I mean, you have to be able to take care of a Chicago team. You hope De'Aaron Fox can play today, and you just hope that we don't use De'Aaron Fox playing almost as an excuse. Well, you know, it took some time to get reacclimated to De'Aaron out there.
And now,
you know, I just hope that we can just have a normal game where De'Aaron is additive to what we saw on Friday. And I just hope it's all good. But yeah, you're completely right. Everything that we've seen from this team so far this year tells you tonight's going to be a letdown. I mean, it's the one thing that we've prepared ourselves for at this point in the season is inconsistency. And the team plays one of their best performances of the year. Stop me if you've heard this before. Mm-hmm. They play one of their best performances of the year, and then they have an easy on-paper game the very next game up. It's everything says that this game should be easy or easier than the competition that you've been playing here before, and that's another thing to worry about is that you're going from playing, you know, Nuggets and Heat and Clippers and Timberwolves to then this huge drop off of playing the Bulls. You have to attack this game with the same amount of intensity that you attacked all those games. It's a lot like that first game outside the All-Star break where we talked about them playing against the Spurs. You almost have to treat these games more seriously than you treat those other the games against good teams, because you just have to get these games down the stretch here when every game's important. You cannot drop games that you're supposed to win, and this is 100% no way to slice it besides the Kings need to win this game. They need to and they have to.
They have to. So we have plenty to break down with the Kings, plenty of sound from Jaden McDaniels, also some stats on Malik Monk's big night. I mean, you got to double check, Chris. Malik Monk had 4 points. 4 points.
Doesn't make sense.
With 2 minutes and 40 seconds left in the third quarter, he finished the game with 39 points. 39.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, it was ridiculous. That's the definition of taking over a game, and they needed it. I mean, the biggest thing is they really needed it without De'Aaron in that game. You know, it still ended up going to overtime, but every single one of those Malik Monk buckets was huge. And, you know, we can have a conversation about down the stretch. Is that exactly how we would want it to look? No. But at the same time, you have to give it to your hot guy at that point. I mean, he pretty much had 30 points in a 12-minute span. You just got to give him the ball, get out the way, and live with the results. And he was incredible. I mean, that's, you know, maybe with the Clipper game last year, withstanding, that was his best performance as a King, and it was when it was needed. And it looked like it was going to be a Sabonis game, and then Malik just completely took it over and didn't look back. It was incredible.
Yeah, and when we spoke with Dane Moore last week, who covers the T-Wolves, the whole thing is the T-Wolves, in their mind, their fan base, and their media, elite defensively, yep. And the issue is offense. So it's crazy to me that if you are an elite defensive team like the T-Wolves, even missing Anthony Edwards, it's crazy to me that you let one dude beat you, Malik Monk. And it's a testament to Malik Monk, sure, and the work he's put in and the bag he's about to get this summer, and hopefully it's in Sacramento, because for him to do that, not against the Pacers, right, who play no defense. Not against right, these teams that don't play defense. Against the T-Wolves.
Right.
And it's one dude. I mean, yeah, God bless you, Kevin Huerter. When he got past the ball, he literally shot it because he had no choice. He did not want to shoot that basketball, yeah, later, because at that, and some of it is, hey, I'm kind of out of rhythm at this point. Right. Malik's been doing his thing. But we all knew that it was going to be Malik Monk towards the end, including everybody in Minnesota in, yeah, that arena. And it didn't matter. It, nope, simply didn't matter. So we're breaking Malik Monk's big night down. And is it time? This is what happens. We're in the cycle now. Malik Monk balls out. Who's going to be the first to text? Who's going to be first to call in? All guests and callers join us on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Who's going to be the first person to ask the question, why is it Malik Monk starting? Who will be the first? I know you're out there. I know you want to do it. Or on the SAC chat. Shout out to the SAC chat. So we know that's coming too. Caitlin Clark breaks Pistol Pete's record. They're calling her Ponytail Pete. That's what I saw during one of the shows earlier this morning. So Caitlin Clark, that was must-see TV, Chris. I was sitting there watching. When was that? Was that yesterday? That was just yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
So she breaks a record. LeBron James breaks 40K. If you are a if you are a hater, you'd say it's just longevity or whatever the case is, but you got to give him his flowers, give credit where credit is due. A lot of records being broken this weekend, the same theme. The Combine, Xavier Worthy breaks a record. We got to chill now. Okay, Xavier Worthy from Texas. I know Jay Johnson is somewhere saying hook 'em horns, but here's the thing. Now people want to say, he ran it faster than Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt, okay, I think, had sweats relax. On, and he probably had his cell phone in his pocket.
Yeah.
You say, let's not do that.
Let's relax.
There's levels to this, yeah. Okay? But Xavier Worthy, does it interest you? And last but certainly not least, the Niners, both teams get their guy, right? Niners get their guy. Nick Sorensen gets promoted. You bring in Brandon Staley as an assistant head coach. We will try to figure out what that actually means. Anthony Lynn has gone on to Washington. And the Giants get their guy, Matt Chapman, to lock down third base. What does that mean for the other infielders? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
A lot of records being broken lately. A bunch of records were broken this weekend, and we are hoping that the Kings, maybe they'll break a three-point record tonight. Maybe they will do that tonight against the Chicago Bulls as they try to keep rolling after beating the T-Wolves, the Timberwolves, who are no longer, you can't say they beat the one seed because they are no longer the one seed.
Ooh.
Thanks to, in part, the Sacramento Kings and then going on to lose to the Clippers. We'll get into pocket watching. Would have been nice for the Clippers to lose, actually, to the T-Wolves. But that didn't happen even without Westbrook. You have the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are now in first place, and they're also the youngest team in the NBA. Extremely impressive stuff out of that group, even if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a foul merchant. Let's go to Sam, 916-339-1140, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Sam? You're on Stiles and Watkins.
Hey,
what you got for us?
Good morning, guys. Hey, listen, great conversation. Well, listen, my point is that if the most valuable player does not come from the NBA champion or the runner-up, then what Sabonis has done with the triple-doubles this year has to put him in the top three.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know how you can deny it. I mean, and talk about Luka Doncic getting 50 points. So what? He's not winning. His team's not winning. So Sabonis has had a much better season than Luka Doncic, and he plays much better team work than Luka Doncic. So anyway, I think that's what should happen, and I hope it does.
Thanks for the call, Sam. The last time I think they had waited on the ladder, the MVP ladder, because of the All-Star break. They released the new one now, though,
yes,
right? It's out, and he's still
ladder,
sixth?
He's still sixth. The ladder right now is looking Jokic number one, and that makes some sense. I mean, obviously, he has the pedigree. They're also a half game out of first place right now. Shai is in second. Of course, as you just said, his team's in first right now. Giannis is in third. His team is in second. Jason Tatum's in fourth. Of course, the Celtics are out of control. The Celtics, besides beating the Warriors by 50 yesterday, the Celtics have won 80% of their games. How insane is that?
Yeah.
And Luka is fifth, with Sabonis being sixth. And I would probably agree that, you know, not that it really matters who's fifth and who's sixth in the MVP, but I would probably agree that at this moment in time, Sabonis probably deserves to be higher than Luka. I think, you know, you look at Luka's numbers and they are insane. He's leading the NBA in points per game, 34.4 points, 8 rebounds, 9.7 assists. So he's doing dang near triple-double numbers himself, but of course, Sabonis is A, on a more winning team, just barely, but is on a team that has been higher in the standings all year. And B, I mean, Luka's stats are, you know, a bit inflated because he is the center of his offense.
Right.
More so than Sabonis,
which seems crazy. And we've talked about, well, why don't you just blitz him? Why don't you just send two? And Luka just, he knows how to get out of that. Obviously, if it was that easy, people would do it all the time. And honestly, you could say the same thing about Shai. I was watching Shai last night, and you sit there and you wonder, why aren't the teams, maybe I'm just so used to blitzing because the Kings blitz everybody. why aren't teams sending a blitz at these guys? And there's clearly a reason that they can't. And we've seen this also with it. We've seen it work against the Clippers. We've seen it not work against the Clippers. But to Sam's point, I think that those guys are right there. They're going to sit there. And I do appreciate that at least this season. The problem is you gave Russell Westbrook that MVP when he averaged a triple-double, yeah. But they were the sixth seed.
Exactly.
That doesn't normally happen.
No, it never happens.
So the triple-double thing can only take you so far, and I think that I would not – seeing Sabonis in the sixth spot as far as the MVP ladder, and this is NBA.com, mind you, seems appropriate to me. I don't find it to be disrespectful based on who is ahead of him. I think if you were, and there are people in Boston who think that Jason Tatum should be higher, yeah, because of how ridiculous their record is. But Jason Tatum is honestly
the team is deep.
Yeah, he is suffering from a version of
suffering from success, honestly.
Exactly. And it's not the same names as the Warriors with KD thing, yeah, but it's a similar situation. Hey, your team is stacked. It's hard to determine your value. We know how valuable you are, but your numbers are suffering from it. So based on what Chris just read, the most recent MVP ladder, I don't have any problems with Sabonis at six. And Doncic at five, I think that they'll probably continue to flip-flop as their teams flip-flop in the seeding. Speaking of, Chris Watkins,
yes,
if
sir.
The playoffs started today,
yep,
we have to call up our guy, Jake Shapiro.
That's right.
Insider for DenverSports.com, who we spoke to last week, because the Nuggets are in the three seed.
That's right.
And the Kings are in the six seed.
Yep.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. We are not in the play-in. You would have the Nuggets right now. How do you feel about that?
Not great, of course. You know, you're not going to feel awesome about, yeah, playing the defending champs. But at the same time, like, the Kings have beaten them three times. Mm-hmm. Not the most recent time, of course. Definitely not the most recent time. But, you know, they've shown proof of concept. I think Denver is the better team of the two. But at the same time, I think the Kings could – that would probably be like a version of last year's series, like where mm-hmm. the Kings put together a good fight, probably go six, might go seven. But I think at the end of the day, Denver is the better team. Maybe if the Kings can get some injury luck there, you know, Michael Porter Jr. misses a couple games like we've seen this
or
year.
We've seen him go ice cold before.
Ice cold, feeling yeah. himself too much. That would be really – or if Jamal Murray just stays normal. Like mm-hmm. if Jamal Murray doesn't elevate to playoff Jamal, maybe there's a chance for the Kings. But it's going to be really tough because I think the Kings' best formula in the playoffs is going to be De'Aaron Fox is the best player in this series. And obviously going to be pretty tough to be the best player in a series with Nikola Jokic involved.
Yeah, and, you know, Sabonis, I think you have a bit of a fighting chance because at least Sabonis will put up sure. good numbers against – they don't cancel out, but in a way, they do a little bit.
A bit, yeah.
So I think that there would definitely be an opportunity. Everybody would pick the the Nuggets, and that's how it goes. As we try to keep things positive here, Chris, and as soon as I start thinking about playoffs, the first place my mind goes, and you know I got to do it, unfortunately – we try to talk playoffs, and the first thing my mind goes to is the free throws. I cannot think about
the playoffs. It's gotten worse. It's somehow
it's
gotten worse.
It's actually gotten worse.
It's amazing.
I cannot think about the playoffs and not just have free throws pop into my mind because it's so important. Every point is so important. You're going up against a Denver Nuggets team. Every point is so ridiculously important. So it's just, I cannot do it.
The Kings are shooting 72.7% from the free throw line nowadays. The Toronto Raptors are in 29th, and they shoot 74.8%. So they're more than 2 percentile points lower than the 29th place, which is just that's just fantastic.
It's actually impressive.
It is. No, it's getting there. It's really getting there.
To be the sixth seed and to shoot this poorly
yes.
is impressive.
Yes.
They beat the T-Wolves in Minnesota. And they shot 54% from free throw.
And you know what? I think at this point, the Max Kellerman laser beam question, who you take into the line,
man.
We're just fried. Like, yeah. we're done. That's what the case is. He's missed two.
He's missed a
Malik
couple.
Malik missed two.
Yeah.
Like, we're just screwed. We don't stand a chance. The aliens win. It's over. Like, I don't know what else to say except for it's been a good ride. Like, there's no chance that these guys can hit a free throw if everything depends on it. So,
no.
You're right. Like, that is a very, very scary number. And I've been saying it all year. I think that at some point it's going to cost them. And it already has cost them games. I'm looking at that Milwaukee Dame buzzer beater. But in a playoff series, it's probably going to lose you a game. Hopefully it doesn't lose you two, but it's gonna play a factor in some sort. There's no way you go from 72% to, oh yeah, actually we're just going to be 80% in the free throws or in the playoffs.
Can we get an update on that board? What are we doing with that free throw board? Because it ain't working. It is not working.
I think it's too much pressure now.
When we get the Kings roundtable here this week, I need an update on the board.
That's right.
What is on the board? Who is on the board? What is the point of the board when you still are not making your free throws? When we return, continuing to break down the pocket watching that happened over the weekend, we also discuss the Warriors getting their doors blown off and LeBron James getting to 40K. Big deal, small deal, or no deal? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
A little bit of help is what the Kings got this week, and they also helped themselves by setting the tone with that W, because everybody from the four seed down, everybody is pocket watching each other, and the Kings got some help in some spots and did not get help in other spots. Let's take a look at what happened over the weekend, Chris. You had the Nuggets beating the Lakers. You had the Rockets beating the Suns. That was on Saturday. That was a great day for the Kings. And then yesterday, the Celtics beat the Warriors. I know the Warriors are trying to make a run, so thank you to the Celtics for taking care of that. The Clippers beat the T-Wolves. If you want that white whale of the four seed, which is still possible, right? You're in the six seed right now. And the Pelicans, honestly, the Pelicans, from what I've seen, Chris, the Pelicans have been playing some of the best ball out of these teams. And even with CJ out, they beat the no offense Knicks last week. And they look good right now, as crazy as it sounds. When we looked at the teams that we were thinking to fall off a cliff, now, the other team that I'm looking at is the Phoenix Suns. I mean, you have Devin Booker go down with an ankle, and they lost on Saturday, and then they lost yesterday to the Thunder. So they are struggling right now to keep afloat. And if the Kings can get a win tonight and keep that pressure on them, that's good stuff. Today, as far as who's on tap, the Thunder are at the Lakers. But again, it's a pretty quiet night as far as the teams. You have the Clippers at Bucks. That's a big one. Clippers at Bucks. We'll see what happens there. But again, the Pelicans, who play tomorrow, they go to Toronto 6-6-6 to take on the Raptors. The Pelicans right now look like the team that's going to hold serve.
I don't see it. Okay. I don't see it. I think that they're going to fall off at some point.
I'm waiting.
I just don't think that they have the team orchestration to keep it going for the rest of the season. I think something's going to fall. I think the second they lose CJ or Brandon Ingram for an extended period, or Zion even for an extended period of time, I think that thing crumbles, and I think it's going to crumble fast. I think the Suns too. I mean, they just don't seem to be able to put it together. They have so many opportunities. I thought that Houston game was a huge one for them on Saturday. They squandered that one away. They play Denver tomorrow. That's going to be tough for them. They have the toughest strength of schedule remaining. Right. So it's tough to see Phoenix getting it together. And Dallas, I mean, the more and more I watch them, the more I'm just like, it's actually kind of crazy that the Kings are in the same tier as them, because it's Luka and Kyrie, and that's it. Yeah. That's all they got. And everybody else besides them is just, can Tim Hardaway have a 20-point game? Can Josh Green have a couple threes in the game? It's they really crazy.
They got P.J. Washington.
They got P.J. They got Daniel Gafford as well. Those have been good additions. But, I mean, for the most part, they're just not scary. And mm-hmm. so I think the Kings actually have the best team of all of them. However, I think the Kings' performances have just let them down. So, realistically, I do think the Kings have the best shot of staying up in the out of the play-in. But, you know, I guess the Pelicans are technically playing. They're definitely playing the best basketball of everyone, like you said. I don't know if it's too early. So here I am again, finding myself believing in the Kings more than everybody else around them. But, you know, it's going to be a bloodbath down the stretch. And I the Kings still have another game against the Pelicans late in April. I just think that this thing, the further and further we get, we're probably going to see some form of separation in the next couple weeks here, or at least in this month. We know the Kings have a really, really easy month. Hopefully they can, you know, get 2 to 3 games ahead of the rest of this pack, because it would be huge for them with that tough, tough April stretch.
And part of the reason that the Kings feel different, right? And we don't want to buy into it. We said we weren't going to do this. Part of the reason you would want to believe that they could is because of this player-only meeting that came out, and Trey Lyles was the one who initiated it. This is after that loss and to Denver, and hey, we're going to go out and we're going to have a conversation and get some things off our chest and put it on the table. So here are the Kings kind of talking about the players-only meeting that they had.
I mean, I think if you've ever been a player of any kind of sport, you've been around some guys who, I guess, don't talk openly when there are coaches around. Like, when you were a kid, when you were in high school, when you were in college, you've had guys that, you know, kind of don't want to say anything when coaches are around. And I think that's what's good about players meeting, because nothing has to leave the meeting. Obviously, whenever we're back with coaches, whatever our main point is, we let them know what it is. And at the end of the day, when you're a team, your organization, you have to have, you know, a middle ground. Obviously, there are some things that you want to do that coaches don't want to do, or coaches want to do that you don't want to do, and you have to find that middle ground. And then, you know, everybody talks to each other, communicates. We go out there and we make it work.
Were you one of those kids?
No. I've never been. I don't know if you've ever seen me argue with a coach. I mean, I've never really been that type of person. But if I see something, and I let Mike know, I'd let Jordy know, I'd let Luke know. So. Rather, if it's calling a play, what I see, what we need to do defensively, whatever, you know, scheme we're running at the time, I let them know whenever I see.
Whose idea was it to have the meeting?
Trey actually initiated it first. And then, you know, I told him I would back him, and guys got in, guys talked. And I think we definitely answered well after that Denver game.
Were you surprised that it was Trey who initiated it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, Trey Lyles is not, I know I've heard Trey is a, vocal leader on the team, but I didn't really think that, you know, he would be the one to ultimately, you know, step up and say, I just think that collectively this would be good for the team. You know, traditionally it feels like that would be done by a Malik Monk or by a Sabonis or by a Fox. And so for it to really be, you know, one of the Kings bench players, mm-hmm. as even though we know Trey is important, it still is one of the Kings bench players. It's pretty surprising that it's him, and I don't want to read too much into it, but I do think that, you know, Fox said, yeah, like I told him I would back him, but, you know, I still think Mike Brown at the end of the day would want that to be called by either De'Aaron or Sabonis. But nonetheless, it was called and
right.
It was had.
And I hate to nitpick it, and we're not nitpicking it, and maybe it's because De'Aaron's not playing right now. That could be part of it. But the bottom line is that it got done.
Yes.
And exactly. They responded from it. And Trey, coming off that contract, maybe feels, hey, this sure. is my home, yeah. you know, and I want to be a part of this and step up in these spots. And maybe you do have to read the room. If you look at some of these other championship teams, the list goes on for guys that kind of come in certain spots. If the Kings are going to continue to move forward with De'Aaron and just realize he isn't that type of leader, he just leads in a different way, we need to find it in other spots. And I would trust that the Kings and the players in that locker room know that. So I don't know if Mike Brown would say to himself, man, I wish it would be De'Aaron Fox. I just think he's probably elated that it happened in general based on what he's been telling us, the media, and telling everybody, I want player accountability. And here he is right now, Mike Brown's thoughts on the meeting.
The meeting was great. You know, I said this before our game, and I even addressed it in my team dinner. Basically, you know, championship level teams, it comes from within. And, you know, as a coach, you could take them so far and you keep pushing them. But sooner or later, it's kind of like your parents, you know, hey, shut the hell up. You know, peer pressure, especially on this level, but true, you know, real peer pressure, not to be a bad person or start stuff, but really for the betterment of the group. That's hard for guys to run away from. And if guys can embrace it, not only talking about it, but also receiving it, that's what championship level teams do. I've been to six finals and with three or four different teams, and every team that I was a part of that did it once as head coach, but every team I did our team that did that was a championship level team because it came from the group. It wasn't necessarily me as a head coach in Cleveland or Steve as a head coach in Golden State or Pop as a head coach in San Antonio. The players took over the team, and the real stuff started to evolve and happen the right way.
He's been saying the same thing all season. And maybe the Kings are starting to get it. Maybe the players are starting to get it. We will see. And if they go out and they lose tonight, they'll still have another opportunity. You want them to stop doing that, but they will. But when you go out and you decide to have a players-only meeting, that tells us, or at least it tells me, we can all look at it different ways. It tells me that you recognize that there is an issue, right? Losing to Denver. And that's the thing. That's what's so interesting, because I think the timing is the most interesting thing. Because after losing to the Heat, I think they were all a little shell-shocked. And then to lose De'Aaron, losing after Denver wasn't really surprising to anybody, right? And even though they got their doors blown off, which doesn't look as bad now compared to what happened to the Warriors, even though that wasn't a close game, I think it says something that they decided to have that meeting after Denver, almost as if, hey, let's get ahead of this and not let this thing cycle and grow, because we still have to go to Minnesota and we can't afford, without De'Aaron, we can't afford to let this thing snowball.
Right.
Like you said, and we continue to highlight this March schedule. This is softer, much softer. The Kings basically got ice cream sandwiched between really hard time that they just got through, March softening up a bit, and then April is tough. You got to go back to the East Coast. You got to go to New York, who will probably have their guys by then. You got to go to Boston. So they still have to do that. So maybe this was, hey, let's get ahead of this before we look up and we've just lost three in a row.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because they put themselves in the situation that they're in now, and you're right, like, get in front of it so that you don't have the meeting too late when it's like, okay, now we really, really, really have to go on a great run and have to be playing our best basketball. Try and take advantage now. Like we said, like, get it. It's okay if a mini collapse, I guess, happens later, as long as you put yourself in a situation where you allow it to not kill you. And I think that's what, to your point, like, that's what's so important about this timing, is that it happens before the Chicago game. Maybe they didn't get the result against Minnesota, but it's making sure that they understand, hey, when there's opportunities in front of us, we're a better team than what we showed against Denver. We should be able to at least put up a fight, because even if they didn't get the result against Minnesota on Friday, they still played great. They still showed that, hey, even without De'Aaron Fox, we were able to compete with the best in the league. And so I think you're completely right that the timing of this is absolutely key. And hopefully we look back in a month or 2 months and say, wow, everything really changed after that players only meeting. They went 12-3 after that, and thank God they did, because now we are looking at that April stretch and they have to go to Boston. I think they have to go to OKC. They've got to go to New York. it's not the biggest deal if you end up losing those games because you did all the work that you needed to do
right.
before. You ate the veggies, and now, you know, you get to kind of you get to play around a little bit and have some freedom. So hopefully that's how it goes, and it seems like, at least for now, it's the bad Kings have kind of been pushed down a bit, and hopefully they don't rear their ugly heads around tonight.
Or you get to April and all the other teams around you have continued to hang around you, and you need to get those wins.
Yeah.
And then at least you can say, all right, you're giving yourself a chance. It's all right. in front of you. Either way,
yeah.
you have to take advantage of March.
Yeah.
You have to control the controllables, what you can control. When we return, we continue the conversation. Coach Mike Brown talked about who his vocal leaders are on the team, and also the Kings moving to the top 10 of the NBA power rankings. What? We also break down Malik Monk's great night, but bizarre game in general. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
This man, after the 3-minute mark in the third quarter, had 35 points, and the rest of the team had 11. And I'm going to be honest with you, Chris. They went 0-for-6 from 3. I don't even remember the 11 points. I really don't. It feels like Malik Monk had every point.
I can't remember any of them.
And every point was needed to get that W.
Yes, absolutely. Especially, I mean, down the stretch, it was the Malik Monk show, and as it should have been, but it was a great performance, man. And I can't lie, especially maybe it's because I watched the Timberwolves game yesterday too, but kind of raised some concerns for me for the Timberwolves in their long-term fit. The fact that it seems like down the stretch, if Anthony Edwards, it's Anthony Edwards. I mean, mm-hmm. down the stretch, it is Anthony Edwards. Have the ball in your hand. Do something. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Karl Anthony Towns can beat somebody off the dribble. But, you know, it wasn't that night was not about the Timberwolves. But one of my big conclusions from that game was I don't know how good the Timberwolves are going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I sent out a tweet during the T-Wolves game when – Jaden McDaniels was going off, right?
Yes,
he had,
yeah.
what did he have, three or four threes, something
high.
Like that.
I don't even know.
And I'll be honest with you, I watch a lot of Kings games. I do not watch as much Minnesota Timberwolves games. So a lot of times when, you know, we'll do prop talk later in the show, a lot of times you can base things on prop talk, right, and where things are set.
Right.
Based on where Jaden McDaniels' threes are set for prop talk, whatever app you're on, the Kings, what they did made sense. They just happened to get burned that night. Jaden McDaniels is not very much of a three-point shooter.
He's not. Yeah, he's not a scorer.
And he's not a scorer at all, right? He's 3-and-D. He's trying to get the threes more so going. So you have Anthony Edwards. I don't really know what happened. And I think that – I don't know if there's a power dynamic issue, but Karl Anthony Towns later in the game – feels like when things get a little bit tighter, he's not really sure where he fits because it's the Anthony Edwards show. What do you need me to do? Right. So to your point, and that's exactly what Dane Moore said. He said offensively, things can get a little clunky.
Right.
They could suffer the same fate as other teams that look really good. The Celtics just look different. But as far as teams that look a certain way in the regular season, but how does it translate? Right. Especially you get Rudy Gobert, who was on his way to another depoy, most likely, but you get him out there, you know, you pull him out the same way we wanted to see Trey Lyles do. It didn't really end up happening on Friday, but you neutralize Rudy Gobert offensively. He can't do much. Their team clamps, but if they don't have anything going offensively,
their team clank too.
They are team clank. That's an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's not forget the one time Minnesota beat the Kings this year, Karl Anthony Towns didn't play.
And you were on that. You were on that early.
And you know what? I will give credit to Dane Moore, who did put me on to that thought process, because he was on, I think there was like some holiday, and he was on with Frankie and Brendan on one of the fill-in shows, and he said pretty much, you know, in a weird way, it changes how Minnesota plays. Like, it makes it so it isn't awkward at the end of games where Cat is in the way sometimes, but also, like, you have to feed. He's your second best player, so you have to feed him. Like, it's a lot more free-flowing. And, you know, I did notice the Kings, while they weren't able to get Gobert out in the pick and pop, they put Karl Anthony Towns in a lot of actions defensively and made him run. And that's exactly what you have to do. Like, for everybody who says, what's Mike Brown doing? Like, there's a point for Mike Brown there, because he completely was like, part of the downfall of running two bigs is that you have two massive humans out there, and they can't move with, you know, a guy like Harrison Barnes. This is where Harrison Barnes being more of a three than a four, you know, maybe more of a modern day four, but your classic typical three helps to play at the four, because that's just a huge mismatch. You get HB running around a lot. You get Cat running around a lot. And I think it really made Minnesota make some decisions. And I think that could be a way in which you look at this matchup moving forward. Maybe the Kings do have a good shot against Minnesota. I know Dane Moore pretty much said, it was actually Jaden McDaniels himself who said, I'm not really concerned about this Kings
Dane,
team.
But Dane liked our chances.
Yes, he did
Dane,
like
Dane
our
liked
yes,
the Kings'
right,
chances.
That's right. So, yeah, I mean, you could see how the Kings could maybe give the Timberwolves some problems. And that was without De'Aaron Fox. Let's not forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking here. Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah, if you're going to say no Anthony Edwards in the second half.
Sure.
Karl Anthony Towns fouled out. Okay, you want to get these dudes in action. Karl Anthony Towns fouled out. Rudy Gobert should have fouled out. Yeah. Don't get me started on that. That was ridiculous. And people were saying, I saw a lot of Timberwolves people saying, oh my gosh, how is Sabonis going to be okay after what Conley did to him? And then they stopped the video. The problem was, don't be mad at the Kings. Be mad at the refs.
Yeah.
And you should be happy with the refs, because it was supposed to be on Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have been out the game. And I believe he would have been out the game for overtime.
Yep, 100%.
So I don't know what you're complaining about. Yep. Just because you guys are starting to slide
a
little bit.
Throwing a lot of bows, too, just in general.
So you have Gobert with five. And your boy, Jaden McDaniels, had five. So they were flirting with disaster the whole time. Karl Anthony Towns can get into foul trouble. That is one thing that he will do. So maybe there's a recipe, but here I go now. If you're willing to say that, is it due to the three-point shooting, right? They shot 37% from three, so they did not light it up. Okay, the Kings didn't. Because I'm looking here and saying, I don't know if it's a King-specific thing or if the Timberwolves are just going to have issues. Because now, this is the same reason that the Lakers have hope, that the Warriors have hope against teams like this, that you can see some of the cracks. So do you think it's a King-specific thing to how they can match up with the T-Wolves, or is there just an issue with the T-Wolves that might come up during the playoffs?
I hear what you're saying. I think that it might be what you just laid out.
Yeah.
Because if you watched yesterday, I mean, granted, it was Kawhi Leonard, but Kawhi did whatever he wanted with the Timberwolves. And, a lot of it was pretty much exactly what I was explaining with HB, but they did it with Kawhi. So maybe you could argue the book is out on Minnesota. They have kind of, they had a pretty firm lead early in the season at that one seed. They've now, as you mentioned earlier in the show, they've completely lost it. They're now the two seed. So, I think you could argue that maybe teams are starting to figure out what makes Minnesota tick a bit. And, we'll see. I think they still present a lot of problems, but I think they're a bit more flawed than what their record might have shown at one point.
Yeah, and as teams start to pick it up a little bit, like we said or continue to say, it's basically playoff time right now. It's definitely money time. So teams are not sleeping on anybody, and everyone's trying to put their best foot forward to end the season on a good note, whether you're going to make the playoffs or not, right? So it doesn't matter who you're up against. When we return, we will hear from Coach Mike Brown on who he thinks his vocal leaders are. We also break down the curious case of the Kings that can beat good teams, can beat great teams, but seem to not show up against the teams that they're better than. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.